Despite appearances to the contrary, no, I am not quitting podcasting. Kia ora and welcome to Amran's Podcast, episode 180. Today is Tuesday, October 20th, 2009. Now, it may seem like I've walked away from podcasting, but I haven't, and I'll tell you about that first. Then later, I've got a commentapalooza because they've been stacking up for a while. And in between the two, I've got a little bit of an update on a previous topic. But first, about this podcasting thing. I have been extremely busy over the past few weeks, as some of you know, and that's not unusual. I mean, there have been other times that I've been unable to podcast because I've just been too busy or I ran out of time or what have you. But there's been an added complication in that about a week ago, I started a gout attack. And it's the last one I had was 16 months ago, and I talked about it on the podcast. And of course, the last one before that was 20 months earlier. So it's over a year between them, and that's a good thing. But, of course, I'd ultimately like to not have them at all, and that means taking better care of myself. And, yes, I know, I'm going to be doing all of that once this attack passes. And I think it is starting to go away. I haven't needed nearly as much drugs as I did last time. This attack was nowhere near as severe as the one last time, which actually isn't surprising because the last one I had, I think, was just about the worst I've ever had. And this one is nothing like that. But it's been bad enough, and I'm looking forward to it being over so I can walk normally and so on again. But as I said, I do think it's starting to go away, and I'm starting to feel better. Because part of the thing is when I get an attack, I also feel a bit like I've got the flu, a bit fevery and achy, even though I don't have a fever. It just kind of feels like that. And so I'll certainly be glad to see the back end of this, as they say. But the reference to quitting is because it seemed for a while there like everybody was quitting. I mean, obviously Archer from Archer Radio had pretty dramatically cut back and actually suspended podcasting altogether for a while there. And then about a week or so ago, there was news that Omar from the other O Show was also quitting. And suddenly, too. I mean, there wasn't any real warning. But I mean, at the same time, Big Fatty and Larry H. Vader decided that they would resurrect the Little Fatty Cast as a live podcast over Pride48.com. So, I mean, you know, swings and roundabouts, isn't it? But there are plenty of others who've talked about cutting back. John Ong has talked about cutting back, and some others have as well. And I'm not at that point. I still enjoy doing the podcast more than, how do I want to put this? It is not as much work to do it as the fun I get out of it, if that makes sense. In other words, it's not a burden. If it becomes a burden, then I'll quit. But it isn't. It's nothing like that. And there's still things I want to do and things I want to say and those sorts of things. So I'm not anywhere near ready to quit, at least not yet. But at the same time, I can't necessarily promise to podcast every week. That's nothing new. Or to do two episodes every week. That's also nothing new. But I am going to continue to try. Now, I have been struggling a bit with the live podcasts, but I'll talk about that at the end of this episode. And I also, speaking of podcasts, should say again that the Too Political podcast is no longer carried as part of the Amran's feed. So if you'd like to listen to the Amran's podcast, the Too Political podcast, you'll need to go to twopolitical.com. That's the number twopolitical.com. And you can listen to it online, you can download individual episodes, you can subscribe through iTunes or directly to the feed, whatever you want, leave comments, all that sort of stuff. But that is now the way to get the Too Political podcast. And that's actually why I've been playing the Too Political promo at the end of Amran's podcasts lately, just to sort of remind you of where you can find it. But now on to today's episode. And first, I have an update. It's actually a subject that I thought I wasn't going to be coming back to. And that is the tale of the two murderers who decided to try to defend themselves by claiming that they had been provoked into committing their acts of murder. In the case of a man who murdered a gay man, he got away with it and his charges reduced to manslaughter. In the case of the heterosexual man, he was convicted of murder. Both of them are now appealing. Now, the heterosexual is not just appealing his sentence, but also his conviction. So obviously what he wants is he wants to be once it reduced to manslaughter, because he's already admitted killing her, so that's not the issue. The issue is, was it murder or manslaughter? I don't know what game he's playing, because the main difference between murder and manslaughter is that in murder, the presumption is of a life sentence. It's just how long you have to go before you can be paroled, and it can be as little as 5 years in some cases, theoretically. I don't know what the details of the other guy's appeal. I did have a quick look to see if I could find out what the story was, but I couldn't actually find it in the time that I had. So I believe he's probably appealing his, he could be just appealing his sentence, which at the time I said, you know, his attorneys were saying that it was unreasonable because he has no family to visit him in prison and sob, sob, sob. But the other guy, the straight guy, wants to have his conviction overturned. And it's going to be a circus no matter what happens. So far, he hasn't been able to find a Queen's Counsel, a QC, to represent him. And if he can't find one, he's going to obviously have to represent himself, which is going to be an even bigger circus. And he's going to drag his victim's family through it all over again. And clearly he has absolutely no remorse for the crime that he's committed. As for the other one, it would be a circus as well, and I don't think he'd have as much trouble finding a QC to represent him, just because I just don't. It's cynical, I know. But Parliament's Select Committee that's looking at repealing that has already started hearings, and it's pretty evident that they're going to be moving by the end of this year, and I don't see how there could be any result other than removing the partial defense of provocation. I think it's likely it will probably be gone before the end of the year, perhaps early in the new session. Also, in a very old episode, one that was probably as difficult for me to record as it was for many people to listen to, I tried to explain how the New Zealand system of electing members of parliament works. It's called MMP. And it's complicated, and a lot of people can't stand it. In the last election, the National Party, which won the most seats in Parliament and ultimately became the leader of government, pledged to have a referendum on whether MMP should be continued, because the right absolutely despises MMP because it dilutes their power and it gives a lot of minorities voices that they otherwise wouldn't have. And that's not just editorializing, it's a simple fact. And so they have announced today, about an hour or so ago, not even an hour ago, half an hour ago, as I'm recording, that they're going to be holding a referendum on MMP with the general election of 2011. Our next general election is in 2011, and they'll also hold this referendum, which is going to slow down the counting that like you wouldn't believe. But anyway, it just annoys me. Anyway, what they're going to do is they're going to ask people if they want to keep MMP or not, essentially. That's what the question will be. Now, if they say that they don't want MMP, there will be a second referendum in 2014, which will decide what system New Zealand will use. Now, the first referendum, the 2011 one, will have two questions. First, obviously, if they want to change the voting system from MMP, but the second will ask what alternative system they would like from a list of options. Now, I don't know what all of those options are going to be. I've heard some mentioned, but I don't know if they're actually going to come to be. But one of them will be the old system, which is usually called first past the post, which is basically like a horse race. The person who gets the most number of votes wins, regardless of how many candidates there are. I mean, the victorious candidate might win with a minority of the votes, but because all the other votes were split among lots of candidates, they still won. But they're not favored by the majority. It's a really discredited system. It's what the U.S. uses. It's what New Zealand used to use. It's what other countries use. It's a terrible system. But another option is that's being considered is STV, or single transferable vote, which in some U.S. jurisdictions is called instant runoff elections or instant runoff voting or some variation on that. That's a possibility. There are some hybrids that are also a possibility. I haven't heard specifically what's going to be proposed, partly because the government hasn't yet said, but I'll certainly keep you up to date with that. But I think what's going to happen is that, and this you know, we're 2 years out, more than 2 years out from the election, so who knows? But I suspect what's going to happen is that MMP will either win by just a whisker, or it will lose and will go to the second one. Now, that's kind of, you think, well, that's kind of obvious, except what I'm saying is that it's not going to be a romp for MMP. It's not going to be that 75% of New Zealanders are going to vote to keep MMP. I don't see that happening. What I think is going to happen is that it's going to end up going to the second election in 2014, and perhaps we'll change our voting system. I don't know. But I'm certainly going to have an opportunity to speak about this more in the couple years coming up, and maybe again for some years after that, assuming I'm still podcasting, of course. But now it's time for comments. And first up, I have some phone messages, and you know what that means.
My mind today.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Hi, Arthur. Thank you for your podcast on Pacific Life and the good stuff about the tsunamis. And we want to keep your comment line open. This is Lord Byron. By the way, the fault line that you mentioned in Illinois also happens to come up near where I live. And they say if we get a really bad one, the Mississippi will flow backwards. So we're not looking forward to that either, especially when this area is also undermined by former coal mines. So we pay our premiums for mine subsidence insurance and cross our fingers and hope for the best. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Your Lordship. And he was referring there to the New Madrid fault that I mentioned in that episode about Pacific Life, which is, what, 173 or whatever it was. I can't remember. I should look it up. I should know that, shouldn't I? I should just know that. But anyway, that's the one where I was talking about earthquakes and tsunamis and all that sort of stuff. But, I went to school in southern Illinois, and there were a lot of farms. Well, there were a lot of farms there, but there were a lot of coal mines in that area as well. And as a matter of fact, one of the guys I went to university with, his father died in a coal mining accident while I was still there, and which is really freaky because it was just the sort of thing. I mean, I was young enough at that point. I would have been about 19, maybe, maybe 20, that, it's just not the sort of thing you expect to have happen to a friend's father. But anyway, oh, that was gloomy, wasn't it? Maybe I'll just go on to the next message.
Hello, this is a comment from Albany, New York. I am shocked at your gratuitous use of your dog in your blog. Shocked, I tell you. Shocked. Bye.
Well, that was Roger Green. And what he's referring to is that on my blog, I did a post with Jake, with photos of Jake and a little bit about him and his trip to grandma's. And I usually refer to that as gratuitous Jake photos, and it always serves a good function. When I'm too busy to blog about anything else, I'll put up pictures of Jake, as you would. But he's the cutest dog in the world, so why wouldn't I? But anyway, so that's what he's referring to. And I actually recently heard Roger on a radio interview. He posted a link on his blog, and it was, I can't even remember who it was with anymore. It was internet radio anyway. And if I think about it, I will try to remember to put a link in the show notes, but I will probably forget. But you can go over to Ramblin' with Roger, his blog, and that's listed under Bevy of Blogs, and both on my blog and on my podcast site. And go check it out for yourself. And now on to the next comment.
Hi, Arthur. It's Moose. I just wanted to call so that you wouldn't lose your voicemail line. Guess you're running into your springtime there. Would love to see some pictures soon. Bye-bye, sir.
Well, thank you, Moose. And now thanks to all you kind gentlemen. My phone line has been continued on one step at a time. These calls have been piling up for a little while. Sort of like the written comments. But anyway, the too political one has the benefit of getting faxes trying to sell, health insurance at least once a month. So that's been helping over there as well. But I don't have that luxury at amarinspodcast.com. And so any phone messages I get are always a help because, you know, even if it extends it by a few days, this is a very a good plus. So if you can't think of any other reason to call the comment line, then by all means, just call it because of that. It's 206-666-5172, by the way. 206-666-5172. Now, onto the written comments. And these, of course, are over at amarinspodcast.com. And I'm going back to episode 174. Which was the first of the live episodes. And I've already done the comment from the phone comment from Lord Byron. I'm bit confused because I was just getting myself oriented on the computer screen there for a minute, about episode 173 about Pacific Life. And there were some comments about that, but I am going to skip that because 174 is now a month ago. So, you know, got to cut the line, draw the line somewhere. But the first written comment was from Roger Green, who said, "This was surprisingly coherent." Oh, I should say that this was the episode, the two-hour episode, and the special guest was Jeffrey Taylor in the first part, and then we had a discussion, a group chat, in the second part. He says, "This was surprisingly coherent. Frankly, I was dreading it a bit, because 2 hours? It's difficult to fill. Clearly, the preparation made all the difference. And a little side note, I did prepare for that one rather extensively. I did some research. I had some questions prepared in advance. I was probably better prepared for that than any of them since. But I'll come back to that at the end of the comments. The problem with 120 minutes, though, is that all sorts of thoughts about one conversation or other cross the mind. Then something else displaces it. I'll need to take notes, I guess. And Roger, I used to have to do the exact same thing. Anyway, there was some conversation about the U.S. Federalist system and whether change comes from the bottom up, i.e. from localities to the states, or top down from the feds. And, of course, the answer is yes. It has come from both directions. A strategy to work on a grassroots level and ignoring the national component might be, depending on the particular issue, too limiting. In another conversation, someone compared the GLBT movement with the civil rights movement and whether they are comparable. I truly believe they are. And as you've mentioned before, I think the opportunity to get to know people different from yourself more often will make acceptance more likely over time. It may even help with something called the ick factor. By the way, I've seen the acronym GLBTQ recently. Do you subscribe to that nomenclature?" And it's a little back to me again. Personally, I don't. It gets to the point where there get to be too many initials. Actually, I've seen it at a very minimum as GLBTQI, and very often other initials added on as well. The Q is usually for questioning, and the I is for intersex. And how do I put this without being too political, as it were? When I was an activist, it was at the stage where organizations were just beginning to adopt gay and lesbian. They had always been gay before that. And they started including the word lesbian to be inclusive. Now, of course, everybody takes that for granted. Then it became transgendered, bisexual and transgendered, and now questioning, and also intersex, and then other acronyms as well. Asexual sometimes gets in there. And I've always felt that an organization does best, now I'm talking about activist organizations here, does best when it focuses on as narrow a mission as possible. And sometimes when you start to try to be all things to all people, it becomes unmanageable, and you lose direction, you lose focus, you lose donors, and it becomes too difficult to get anything done because you're trying to do everything. And I think that there's a place for organizations that deal with only specifically gay and lesbian issues. There's a place for organizations that deal only with transgender issues, and so on. I don't think that all organizations have to be all things to all people. Having said that, however, I think it's important to recognize that there is a spectrum within what we generally call the gay and lesbian communities, or some people still prefer to call them the queer communities. They're people who are marginalized and displaced and not part of the mainstream, at least in the U.S. In other countries or parts of them, they arguably are. But that's a topic for another day. Essentially, I don't use that. I tend to use GLBT exclusively. I don't sometimes alternate with LGBT. Because I think it's a bit sexist, actually, to insist on putting the lesbians first. It's like, ladies first. And I don't like that. For that reason, I think it's condescending. So that's my position on that. Anyway, he says, "Finally, since you brought up the instant runoff, which I just mentioned again, and your local equivalent, time for some self-serving plug of my blog." And he has a link to a blog post he did on instant runoff voting, which here is known as single transferable voter, STV. And I do check it out. It's a good post, by the way. And the next comment was from Scotty, the little Aussie butler. I was thinking about his podcast the other day when I was driving around. I don't know why. it's not like it was related to anything. But I was thinking about how I can't say Bettler. I have to say Battler. And I guess that's what living 14 years down under does to you. But anyway, he says, and I thought Mr. Brewer must have died. He was referring to Daniel Brewer. Good show, Arthur, but I wish I was working this week so I could have listened to it in one sitting. Oh, well. Should be concentrating on exam tomorrow and three essays to do. Keep up the great shows. Scotty. And Scotty's in school at the moment, which is what he's basically referring to. And he often, unfortunately, is unable to join us for group shows or what have you because he's got some commitment with university. But, having been there, I certainly understand what that's all about. Now, the next episode was 175, and I called that Where Was I? Because, it had been a while before I'd been able to get back to normal podcasting. And Roger Green was the first commenter who said, John Key on Letterman on Thursday, he won't be wearing a bikini, apparently. And it was a link to when John Key was going to be on Letterman. At that point, I was a bit unclear as to the timing and such. And I said, yep, you're right. This is me replying in writing for a change. I said, you're right, it is Thursday in the U.S. I wasn't sure because New Zealand websites often translate U.S. times to New Zealand times. According to the official Letterman site at CBS.com, which you'd think I would have checked in advance, the guests for Thursday, September 24th are Craig Ferguson, book, American on Purpose, Kristen Chenoweth, Glee, Snow Patriot, CD, 100 Million Sons, and Top 10 with John Key, New Zealand Prime Minister. And as an aside, Glee is starting in New Zealand next month. I didn't think it was ever going to get here, because a lot of American shows don't make it here, but apparently it's popular enough that it will be, starting next month. And the next comment was from Nancy in Japan, who said, Arthur, very interesting that bit about New Zealand cracking down on people giving out immigration advice. Here's a link to a video clip of the PM on The Letterman Show, my favorite number 7. It's like England without the attitude. Which, Nancy, is exactly what my favorite was, too. I was talking about New Zealand, and New Zealand is like England, but without the attitude. I still like that one. My sister, I posted the video on my blog, and my sister commented and was saying, among other things, that she's commenting on the Prime Minister saying that we have Cinnabon at Auckland Airport. Well, that we actually don't. The routine was written by Americans, and apparently Americans who don't have full familiarity with New Zealand, shall we say. We don't have a Cinnabon in New Zealand or Australia. I don't know if they exist many places outside the U.S. We have local equivalents, but we don't have Cinnabon. And the percentage of power that's generated from hydro was exaggerated. It's not 80% or whatever they said. It's actually something like 60% or 57%. But from all renewables, it approaches 80%. If you include hydro, wind, geothermal, and all those kinds of things. So anyway, but I thought that was kind of interesting that so many people took notice of it. Maybe it must be my influence because I mentioned it, eh? It's got to be what it is. I'm sure that's what it was. And the next next show with comments was Amron's 176, which was live chat on healthcare. Now, that one got off to a bit of a rough start because it had actually been suggested by Daniel Brewer, who was late getting to the podcast. But the comment was from Tim Carmel, who said, wow, that was one of the best discussions on healthcare reform that I've heard in a while. I wish I could have been there to join in with my 2 cents now from D.C., 2 cents from D.C. I'm guessing I might have to reschedule my gym nights to be able to listen live. Again, gosh darn it, I'm so mad that the Senate Finance Committee today crapped out on the public option. I'm so over how in bed these folks are with the health insurance companies. Grow a spine and do what the people who vote for you want, or we will replace you with someone who will. Ugh, I'm disgusted right now. Thank you, Tim. I should say that just before I recorded, I was watching the ABC, was it World News or whatever it's called? And they were reporting the results of their latest poll, which, among other things, found that 57% of Americans favor a public option, which is the most conservative number I've seen yet, and which is greater than the number of people who actually support the president's health care plan overall, which is almost evenly divided between supporters and opponents. But a clear majority support the public health, the public option, rather. And also, interestingly, it said that 20% of people identified as Republicans, which is the lowest level, apparently, in 26 years of their polling, which was kind of interesting in itself, and about which I will comment no further on this podcast. The next one, we're moving right on. Oh, it's 177 Pacific Life. You see, I didn't even remember where it was. It's 177 was Pacific Life. And that's the one that that His Lordship was referring to in the phone comment. And the first comment was from Archer, who said, "Glad to hear you didn't have any serious effects from the earthquake tsunami. Sad for those who did have deaths. When I heard about this yesterday, you were the first person I thought of, and then I thought of Scotty." Well, I'm glad you thought of me first. Now, interesting thing about that, because Australia was often thought of as being a completely stable country with no geologic activity at all. And it's relatively recently that they found out that it's actually potentially as at risk as many other countries. There are fault lines running all over the place because they're right on the edge of the Pacific Ring of Fire. They're just to the west of the major faults. But they're still in the same region, could easily be affected certainly by tsunamis, but also even by earthquakes and potentially even volcanoes, not to the extent of New Zealand, which is riding the edge of one of the plates. But certainly it is potentially at risk. It's just that New Zealand's probably at a greater risk. There's been a lot of fundraising that's been going on for Samoa in particular. Samoa has deep ties, or New Zealand, I should say, has deep ties with Samoa. It's a sort of long, involved story, but at one time, New Zealand administered Samoa as a protectorate sort of thing, and not always very well, it has to be said. And I believe I am correct in saying that there are more Samoans living in New Zealand than there are in Samoa itself. And actually, before I go on about that, Roger Green's comment actually touches on that. He says, "You say Samoa, and I say Samoa." Yes, Roger, that's true, because that's the way they pronounce it. They don't say Samoa. They always say Samoa. Actually, it's moi, more than moa. So it's Samoa and Samoan people. And I've heard some people refer to Pago Pago as the capital of American Samoa, and it's not. It's not Pago Pago. It's closer to Pango Pango, but that's not even quite it. It's really hard to do in English. But it's definitely not Pago Pago. And there are plenty of other examples of that in the Samoan language. Samoan is similar to Maori. Actually, all the Polynesian languages are very similar to each other. But they have different ways of saying things. If you greet somebody in Samoan, you'd say talofa. Or if you really know them well, you might say talofa lava. And a house might be called a fale, F-A-L-E, whereas in Maori be a fare, W-H-A-R-E. And so there's clear similarity among the languages. But anyway, Samoans say it that way, and that's how I pronounce it. I try to pronounce things the way the people do, particularly when I live in a country where there are people who are of Samoan heritage or Samoan citizens, and I could quite easily run into them, so I think it behooves me to try to pronounce it the way they do. But what I was going to say before was that a lot of money has been raised in New Zealand for the Samoan people, and Nigel's sister is involved in a project with schools on the North Shore of Auckland this Friday, I believe it is, and they have, I think it's 20,000 students participating throughout the shore, and they have no idea how much money they're going to raise, obviously, but they're hoping for quite a tidy sum. And there's also a concert tonight, a charity concert to raise money for the people of Samoa, because in many cases, everything they had was completely wiped away. And although you're not talking about the large-scale loss of life as you did, say, with the Boxing Day tsunami a few years ago, when you're talking about a small country that's poor to begin with, this is absolutely devastating. And as I said, there is a strong connection between New Zealand and Samoa, and that's why we're so involved with that. But Roger went on with his comment. He says, "Americans are the same way about hurricane warnings. Some folks got killed in the last time a Category 1 storm hit the mainland, this was in New England, as they washed out to sea while watching the storm come in. I'm sure," and he provides a link, says, "I'm sure they were thinking, it's only a Category 1. And yeah, that was a topic of some discussion after the last tsunami warnings about people being stupid enough to go to the beach to watch the tsunami come in. And you know, it's not like they didn't know what potentially could happen. They'd seen it on television. So it was just really stupid. But I mean, we've got people here who are really dumb. There's this guy who's mayor of a city called Whanganui, or actually it's Whanganui. His name's Michael Laws, and he's a dipshit, quite frankly. And he's also a radio host. And he was saying on the radio that there's, in the recorded history of New Zealand, there's never been a tsunami who's reached the shores of New Zealand, as if that meant there never would be. Well, you can't know that. It could very well be that there will never be a tsunami, or there could be one in 30 seconds. Soon. We just don't know. And that is the point. And the thing is, if people have their get-through kits prepared for other natural disasters, they'll be fine for a tsunami as well. And that's the larger things. And it's really irresponsible of people like Michael Laws to go around and saying, well, there's never been one, so obviously there's never going to be one. Mind you, can't stand him full stop, but anyway. Right then, the next episode after Too Political was another live show, and I called it Live Show Gives Big Fatty Material. And for the uninitiated, I should explain what that means. Big Fatty is another podcaster I've mentioned frequently. Big Fatty Online is the name of the show. And for the love of God, don't forget online. And he's good fun, and a lot of us podcasters, we sort of pal around together. We consort. And one of the things that he does is he will take podcasts where people mention him and play them at the beginning of his show. And so we were just having a bit of fun with that in that episode. And he did use it. So, you know, good on him. But Big Fatty was the first commenter. And he said, since I am at the Horror Hotel, I've been a little preoccupied to listen to the live show, but I did notice that you titled the show to lure me in and that my grandson is on the show. Needless to say, I can't wait to hear the nattering. The grandson he's referring to is Stephen in Wisconsin. It's sort of convoluted how this all works, but there are these imaginary relationships going on. Fairy Princess Holly is the eldest daughter, Big Fatty. Nessa from Stars and Tartan is another daughter. Stephen is his grandson, and Stephen also claims Lurie Dean as his uncle. So it gets all wrapped up like that, and it's all just in fun. And there's actually quite a lot of camaraderie among the various podcasters, and it's certainly open to anybody who wants to be part of it. Knowing them as I do, I've never detected any preciousness in them. So if you want to join in the frivolity, you're more than welcome to. We're all on Twitter. You know, you're welcome to start following us at any time and take part. My updates are protected, so I have to approve you. But, you know, it's not been a barrier yet. And the next comment was from Scotty, who said, hi, Arthur. I really want to be on one of your live shows. One day, maybe when my essays are all done. Anyway, great show today. I like the family's topic to begin with. I'm yet to get ruined big fatty. So maybe the show will be bad then. Keep up the good work. Oh, and don't forget, I have a new website now with comments. And, I remembered now why I was thinking about his show Little Aussie Battler the other days, and why it was when I was driving. I was following a car and it was turning, and I remembered how on a show, must have been a couple weeks ago or so, Scotty was talking about cars and how the turn indicators in the back end of a car are always amber. They're not red like they are in the U.S. And it's funny because when I first moved to New Zealand, I didn't notice. I honestly did not notice. And I was riding around with Nigel once. I couldn't drive at the time. I didn't have a license. And all of a sudden, I noticed that the indicators were amber. And I said something to him about it. And he said, well, of course they are. You know, as if like, don't be stupid. All the indicators are yellow or amber. I said, well, in America, they're red. They're just the same as the brake lights. They were at the time anyway. And he thought that was the strangest thing he'd ever heard. And it's something I had forgotten about again until Scotty mentioned it on his show. And that's why I was thinking about Scotty that day in my car. So anyway, thank you, Scotty and Big Fatty. And I'm sure that by now, Scotty has heard the episode and the rest of the episode and why we were referring to Big Fatty. And the next episode, I believe, is last week's live episode, and there are no comments on that. So, that's the end of the comments. There, as I said, the Too Political podcast is now just little reminders that I put on my Amarin's podcast site, not the actual episodes, so obviously all comments are over there. And when we get comments, Jason and I go over those on that show, and we're recording another one this week. So there'll be new Too Political out this week. So you may want to think about moseying on over there and subscribing so you'll be ready for it when it is. Now, I was talking, I've been hinting, or I suppose, I didn't really mean to make it such a big deal, but about the live shows and how I've been having a bit of trouble with them. And it's partly my fault. Well, it's all my fault. It's my fault. I haven't always been as prepared for them as I should be. And in a couple of cases, it's been, especially the one about Big Fatty, it's been because I wasn't sure I was going to be recording at all. And I sort of threw something together at the last minute. Now, that's obviously not fair on anyone. It's not fair on the guests. It's not fair on the listeners. It's not fair on me either. So I do want to be more prepared for ones in the future. And I already have the topic for this week sorted. And I'll be posting it probably tomorrow, maybe the next day, but probably tomorrow, so that people have time to see if they want to take part in it. With the live shows, I'm trying to do ones that aren't necessarily political, even though I love political discussions and other people love them as well. Part of the whole reason why I set up Too Political as a separate podcast is I was trying to get away from the political topics only on... I was trying to get the political topics away from the Amarin's podcast, especially about American politics, because it didn't really gel very well. I don't mind talking about politics, certainly, and there will be some episodes where that's probably all we'll talk about. But I want to explore other issues and some that maybe I can't talk about on this podcast or can't talk about by myself because I need to get other opinions and those sorts of things. And so that's pretty much what I'm going to be doing with the live show. Now, I've said before that it may at some stage morph into more of a general talk show and that it will carry on and with a guest host if I can't be there for some reason. I don't know. All of this is to be determined in the future. But I do know this. One of the problems that we've had with all of the Pride 48 programming is that there's no incentive for people to listen live. And a couple of weeks ago, there were so few people listening live. That's one of the reasons I was thinking, oh, this is even worth doing. But there's no incentive to listen live when the program is recorded and then posted as a recorded podcast. Why make the effort to listen when you don't have to? So the two live podcasts ago, the Big Fatty one, there was some material inside the podcast that I edited out and wasn't included in the recorded show. Now, I didn't mention because it's not that big a deal, quite frankly. It's not that important. But it is one of the things that may happen. Last week, we chatted on for a while after the formal show was over. It wasn't recorded. It wasn't included in the recorded podcast. It doesn't exist anywhere else. And the idea basically is to give people an incentive to listen to the live shows rather than just wait for the recorded ones. And so every episode, there will be some difference between the live show and the recorded one. It could be that I edit out things more than just dead air. It could be that we chat either before or after or both the recorded show or something like that. And eventually it's entirely possible that they won't be posted as recorded episodes until maybe a week or two later. That's also possible. I just don't know how that's going to turn out, but part of it depends on people's participation and what they want to hear, what the live listeners want to hear. And I certainly welcome feedback on that about what people would like to hear in the live streams. And even if you want to hear them at all, recorded at all, give me your thoughts on that. Give me your thoughts about what you would like, how you would like to see it evolve. Because at this stage, it's open for anything. But we'll see. We'll see what the public demands. It's in some ways, it's not as much work as a recorded podcast because I basically just record it and put the opening closing on, and well, the closing music, and then post it, and that's the end of it. But I still have to write the show notes, and to have it turn out even halfway decent, I have to do some preparation work I found out the hard way. So there is some work involved in it. I don't script those shows. Oh, I don't script any of my shows. I've never or seldom written anything down. Like today's show, I don't have any notes. I don't have a list. I don't have anything. I just wing it, which is fairly typical for a studio show. The live shows, as I said, do require more preparation. And so that's why I'm particularly keen on hearing what you'd like to hear or not, or what you don't want to hear. And by all means, you can send suggestions to me either through the comments at aaronspodcast.com or the email at arthur@aaronspodcast.com or on the listener line 206-666-5172. And of course, those will all be repeated at the end of this episode. But that's it for today. I will be back later this week with another live episode. And as I said, the subject is already determined. And I'll post that in the next couple days. And there will be another Two Political podcast in a day or two, a couple days probably. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening. I am not quitting, and I will be back again this week and possibly two times next week as well. Shh, don't tell anybody. Bye.
Hi, my name's Arthur.
And my name's Jason.
And we're the hosts of Two Political, a podcast in which two old friends talk about politics, the news, and whatever else we think of. You know, we've been friends for a long time.
Yes, a very long time.
We've always talked about news and current events.
We've been going on like this for years. Now you can listen in.
You can find us on iTunes or go to our website, twopolitical.com. That's the number 2political.com. What's that name again?
Two Political. Too political.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Aaron's Podcast at aaronspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at aaronspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.